From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues a series of studies in the life of Abraham as he brings the next portion of a message entitled The Burden and the Blessing of Testing. Having waited many years for Isaac, the son of promise, Abraham was at last enjoying the blessing of fulfillment in the evening of his life. Yet it was at this very time that God asked of him that which was dearest to him, a life of Isaac. In one of the most poignant passages in the Bible, we see the aged patriarch and his beloved son making their way to Mount Moriah. In a matter of minutes, Abraham was to lay Isaac upon an altar and offer him to God in sacrifice. Raising the knife, Abraham was about to carry out God's command when the angel of the Lord called him to stop. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, this was a lesson in complete surrender. May the Lord teach us what it means to obey Him by life or by death. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, here is a devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the writings of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Tender Comfort. The text is Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 13. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. A mother's comfort. Ah, this is tenderness itself. How she enters into her child's grief. How she presses him to her bosom and tries to take all his sorrow into her own heart. He can tell her all, and she will sympathize as nobody else can. Of all comforters, the child loves best his mother, and even full-grown men have found it so. Does Jehovah condescend to act the mother's part? This is goodness indeed. We readily perceive how he is a father. But will he be as a mother also? Does not this invite us to holy familiarity, to unreserved confidence, to sacred rest? When God himself becomes the comforter, no anguish can long abide. Let us tell out our trouble, even though sobs and sighs should become our readiest utterance. He will not despise us for our tears. Our mother did not. He will consider our weakness as she did, and he will put away our faults only in a surer, safer way than our mother could do. We will not try to bear our grief alone. That would be unkind to one so gentle and so kind. Let us begin the day with our loving God, and wherefore should we not finish it in the same company? Since mothers weary not of their children.
Thank you.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to tell you that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, emails, and phone calls we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS Audio Magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a free copy of LTBS Audio Magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a special feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did the Sabbath change to the first day? How do we know that the Bible is the Word of God? Is the emerging church dangerous? The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com. Thank you.
I can only vaguely imagine what it must have been for Isaac to be stretched out upon the wood in the altar, to look up and to see the face of one whom he loved and who he knew loved him more than any on earth. To see him take that great knife and hold it above him. The knife glinted in the sun for a moment. In an instant, Abraham would plunge it into the bosom of his son to make his sacrifice to God. But in that instant, the angel of the Lord, I believe none other than our Savior himself in what is called a Christophany or Theophany, the angel of the Lord spoke from heaven. It would appear that he had been silent all the way through the journey. How true to life. God had told him what to do, and he let him do it. He didn't. He was there. But he didn't keep interjecting new words every step of the way. Abraham had to walk by faith in what God had said. But now the Lord spoke, and he says, Abraham, lay not thine hand upon the lad, for now I know that thou fearest me, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Abraham immediately caught sight of the fulfillment of his own prophecy. God had provided for himself a sacrifice, and there he saw the ram caught by his horns in the thicket. He laid hold of him, slew him, placed him upon the altar, and rejoiced in God's provision. That's why he called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Again, the angel of the Lord spoke. This time it was to confirm the promise that he had given so many years before, but this time he added something of vast significance. He says in verse 16, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. And he goes on to say, in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore. Thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Paul's inspired commentary in that is, because he could swear by none greater. He swore by himself, confirming the word of promise. And so we come full circle. Abraham and Isaac returned to the servants and back to Beersheba. Abraham returned to Beersheba, a richer man than when he had departed. When he set out, he thought the Lord was asking some great thing from him. When he returned, he realized that in fact the Lord was intent in giving some great thing to him. In many ways, you know, as you look at that passage, it's obviously one of the most striking pictures in all the Bible. And yet it's one of the most strange. You can't read that without asking yourself the question, why on earth would the Lord ask for such a sacrifice as Isaac for a burnt offering? After all, the Bible doesn't believe in human sacrifices. F.B. Meyer, the great English Baptist preacher, actually believed, suggested that at least in part, that was the real reason for the Lord making this demand. It was to show to every subsequent generation that he did not and would not sanction human sacrifice. You see, when this came to Abraham, he was not in the slightest bit surprised. For one reason. Abraham lived at a time and in a place when human sacrifice was very, very common. And it remained common for centuries to come. It even invaded Israel itself in later years. But all the surrounding nations practiced this abhorrent form of worship, when they were burdened with great guilt and great sin, these people were used to taking their own infants because they were the most precious possessions they had, and they would burn them and offer them up to placate their deities. I will never forget walking through the ruins of the ancient city of Carthage and seeing what the archaeologists' spades had dug up. I will never forget particularly walking along this recreated avenue, and every few yards on either side of the road there was a little urn dug up from the earth. There were hundreds of them. And inside every urn, the remains of somebody's son or somebody's daughter that had been burned in sacrifice to placate the anger of their gods. Oh, Abraham had seen and known about this for a long time. But in dealing with him in this way, the Lord showed him and every subsequent generation that sin could not be dealt with like that. That only the Lord could provide the true sacrifice for sin. There's great truth in Meyer's idea. But it's not the only reason why the Lord asked for this of Abraham. I think the key to understanding this section of God's Word and why He tested Abraham so heavily is to grasp that His purpose was to lead Abraham to a full surrender, to confirm to Abraham and to Isaac the glorious promise of His grace, to instill into both of them the principles of the gospel, and to record for all posterity, for us His believing people, His testimony. Never forget this, that when God tries us, it is to bless us with greater manifestations of His grace than ever before. Isn't that clear in the case of Abraham? Tonight, I want us to think for a moment or two on this passage about the burden and the blessing of divine testing. I have three very simple things to say. First, the most obvious, the Lord puts His servants to the test. Abraham had been living very contentedly at Beersheba for many years. Blessings were plentiful. He had settled down to live in peace. There was a great stillness about Abraham's life at this period, and there was a great sameness about his life through those years. The danger is that stillness and sameness can very, very easily lead to stagnation. And for that reason alone, some time of testing was almost inevitable. Then again, as we noted last week at Beersheba, Abraham had set up the worship of the Lord. There he called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. In doing this, Abraham was making an open, bold proclamation, a profession of his devotion to the everlasting Jehovah. But devotion that is never tested, devotion that thrives only in an atmosphere of receiving without ever being challenged to give, and especially being challenged to give up, is not true devotion. So again, a challenge and a test was inevitable. Further, we must think of this, that many years before, Abraham had left everything for the Lord. He had left his fatherland. He had left most of his relations. He had left all that was familiar. And he had stepped out into the unknown, not knowing whither he went. The only thing that he knew was that the Lord was leading him. He had left everything for the Lord. But you know, it was just as true of him as it is of us. No one can live on the strength of past experiences. Had Abraham gone soft in the meantime? Was Abraham still the pilgrim who looked for a city that hath foundation, whose maker and builder is God? There was just one way to find out. And so the Lord put him to the test. And what a test. Remember, part of the purpose was to lead Abraham to a full surrender. A full surrender means everything submitted to God. Everything on the altar for God. When Paul was writing to the Philippians, he thought of this. And he said, regarding himself, this must be so whether by life or by death, whether I live or whether I die. To me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Whether I live or die is not of moment. What is of great moment is that I serve my God, glorify Him. I don't want to be alarmist, but I must say, I think this every time parents, either privately or publicly, dedicate their infants to the Lord. Never, never think that that is a rite of passage. Never think for a moment that that is an empty ceremony that simply lets people know in a public way the name of the infant. Never for a moment think that this is something that is a cultural event or a religious event and it means nothing else. Remember the words of H. Grattan Guinness, every word dropped by us is caught by God. We cannot unsay it and He cannot forget it. We stand before God to say, Lord, we acknowledge this child to be Thy gift. And we give him or her back to Thee in total dedication to Thy will. God hears that. God hears that. In the vast majority of cases, His way of dealing with families is a way of soft kindness. But there are times when that vow solemnly made has to be solemnly fulfilled. Never get bitter with God if He takes what belongs to Him and what you've acknowledged belongs to Him.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.